Welcome to the Digital Marketing Insights Podcast, brought to you by Brightside Digital.
Hi everyone, welcome to the show. I'm delighted to say we have Alain here today, who is a B2B market manager. How are you doing, Alain?
Hi, Tom. How are you? I'm fine. Thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here and excited for our talk
today. I'm so glad to have you on this. And a B2B specialist is so good for the show. So thank you so much. Alain, let's start off. Can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your career to date, please?
Sure. So I'm from Brazil. I came from a very diverse family in terms of professional. But my interest in markets started when I was a teenager. So I was always very engaged in school fair events and always in charge of promoting, planning, inviting people, finding sponsors, suppliers, and all the organization stuff. At that time, I was doing just tasks for me, but somehow I started to discover that I kind of have some talent and skills to do this. And when I grew up, started to do the last year of high school, between a lot of options for degrees in communication and marketing area, I chose to do public relations. So I basically started my career working in marketing at PR agencies. I had a lot of opportunities to work on various functions with different clients from different industries as well. But I was very curious to explore all the possibilities of the roles. So I was always moving between jobs, and I just to discover where I would like to be when I got my diploma. And in a very natural flow, I start to work with B2B companies in the agencies, and I start to be very curious about the marketing challenge for B2B. So this kind of motivates me to explore more, to understand like how to plan the content, create, design, implement the marketing projects, and also how to boost revenue generation by the end. So in the meantime of this desire to learn more and somehow like passion to discover this new way of doing market, I was very frustrated because to get insights or learn more or even work for very good B2B companies in Brazil, it was required to have an English level that I didn't have at that time. So that's why I came to Ireland to learn and improve English. I was very fortunate to get an opportunity to work in an Irish jewelry family business, again, with B2B marketing challenge. After 3 years, I went home and I was very lucky again to find a job just right before the COVID-19 starts. And this last experience was very challenged in very different ways for me because it was first time working in a B2B company because previously I was just working with agencies. And this company itself was running international their expansion towards Latin America and also EMEA region. So I had a lot of learnings and even challenges at that time. And this actually led to my new current career move where I am now. So I'm back to Ireland and I'm doing a Master of Science in Global Brand Management at Griffith College.
Really busy. Yeah. I suppose you've mentioned B2B marketing as your specialist area. Is there any platforms or main areas where you drive that traffic? How do you go about B2B marketing?
Yeah, so in terms of platform, the CRM is actually my best friend. So all of my marketing projects and even campaigns are tracked in a CRM. And in terms of like tactics, I would say that I mostly base my campaigns using account-based marketing or ABM and using inbound and content marketing. Why? So because you know that like a sales cycle for B2B companies has a different pace from B2C. So segmentation is very key for all activities that we are doing. So knowing exactly who are the personas, which channels they are to engage with the company, and especially when I'm talking about like this international context for companies that I've been working. Understanding like this cross-cultural communication factors is also something very important to consider. And understanding this after knowing very well the segmentation and understanding the cross-cultural difference, then the inbound and content marketplace plays a very key role as well in the business. So most of my day-to-day then go for like planning campaigns, analyzing performance and competitors, doing a lot of marketing study and studying a lot about the product and service of the company that I'm in, because the content is the main thing that I will be kind of like engaging with the possible customers. So that's part of the tactics and tools that I've been using.
And talk to me platforms wise. Is there any particular platforms that you use that you're really, you know, really comfortable in to drive some of this? And some maybe some of your reporting platforms you use as well.
Yeah, so in terms of CRM, I've been using HubSpot a lot. So they have like a lot of features for account-based marketing. So just defining your personas, your ICP, so ideal customer profile. So you can get all of this data to help myself as a marketing manager, but also like the sales team. And on the platform itself, I can use like a lot of marketing features such as like email marketing. We can schedule all the social media posts. We can get all the reports. But I also use some other tools such as like SEMrush for like knowing better my position on social media and even like knowing which kind of hashtags, keywords and this kind of AdWords intelligence comparing my company with the competitors, and also Google Analytics, Google Search Console, all of these digital sources available as well. So.
And let's stick with HubSpot for the second. Are you talking about the sales pipeline when you're trying to inbound marketing, or is it another part? What aspects of HubSpot do you find really good for B2B?
Yeah, so for B2B, I think you are able to create all the marketing automation workflow. So most of my marketing campaigns or even like post events such as like webinars, or if you are sponsoring a congress, we can do this whole strategy of having this automation. So email automation workflow where we can use content to nurture and keep this audience engaged. So HubSpot was a very good platform for me because I can like upload the list, I can do some segmentation and target, I can create different workflows if they are like different job titles, or I can create the whole strategy and using all of them, and I can get like all tracking and analytics from it. So I can see how many open the email, how many kind of click on the links. I can use like tracking URLs as well. So for different companies, different campaigns, sorry. And yeah, so I would say that for marketing is very helpful to have a CRM such as like HubSpot, or I know that there's a lot of other similar CRMs in the market. As well, when you have a CRM that works very good for your marketing team, this saves a lot of time for your sales team, because any lead or opportunity that I can get on a MQL standard, I can read forward for the sales team or peer sales, and they can see all the stories. So if the people are reading our blog, if they are engaging on newsletter, if they attend an event, so they can have all the story of the lead before entering contact with. And this opens the relationship, because they can start the relationship just saying like, "Hi, Tom, I know that you attend the last event about whatever, you know," and then this breaks the ice. So CRM has been so far the best tool for B2B.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So I'm getting a clearer picture now. So it sounds like your sales team are the ones that are developing the pipeline, getting contacts and companies into the HubSpot system, and then you're nurturing that data. So you're creating workflows, interacting, whether they turn up for events. And then, so is there anything from a business point of view that any business listening to the show and thinking, Alain really knows this area of HubSpot, is there any kind of workflows that are maybe a little bit away from the norm that you've built that you're really proud of, that you think you know, you'd recommend to businesses that you think, oh, this is a really good automation flow to work on?
That's tricky one. Yeah. Let me think. Not sure if I get your question fully. So if you can,
yeah, sure.
Again,
so so a lot of companies listening to this episode, they might look at areas like the workflow, and they want to understand how it could benefit their business in itself. So if you're building out automation marketing workflows in HubSpot, for example, someone goes to an event and you've already set up an automated workflow to, you know, say thank you for attending the event and moving on, follow this about our journey or something like that. But is there any particular workflows that you have in HubSpot that you're really proud of, like a trigger that that you could recommend to a business that would be a little bit away from the norm?
Well, I don't know if I have any specific story about this, because usually when you create like the marketing automation workflows, we kind of develop and tailor for each strategy that you are developing. So I don't know if I have
we'll skip that one. Sorry.
Any suggestion for a specific, because it could change a lot. It depends on your strategy, you know,
yeah,
for each
company.
Completely. So.
And Aline, is there any particular campaign, maybe in your previous career or in your current role, that you're really proud of? Any work that you've done that's developed loads of results because of your actions?
Yeah, so back to the multinational company that I work, start to work right before the COVID-19 started in 2020. I had a lot of challenges, as I mentioned on the introduction, but I'm really proud of the numbers that we reach on the EMEA expansion, particularly. And I can explain better, because when you think about like European market, it is a very mature market, like big techs are in. And in the other hand, like Brazil is not a well-known country in tech. So it was very hard to first not just open the market, but position a company as like a good tech provider. So that was the first challenge in terms of like brand awareness and reputation. But I remember that after one year that we are actively running the marketing operation, we grow more than 40% in European followers on the social media platforms. We had also PR agencies, so we got like more than 200 PR pieces talking about the expansion, like our products, service, why we believe that we are like a great provider for European companies itself. And we kind of got some very good leads from the marketing campaigns that the sales team actually develop further contacts. But I would say that for me, the fear of failure was always around, not just because I was leading for the first time a project with no previous experience in internationalization, so global marketing stuff. I'm also not European, so I not deeply understand like the whole cultural codes, like the behaviors. And the third challenge that make myself very proud is because the company that I was working at that time deal with very deep tech solutions. So it was very challenging for me because I studied a lot. But I really believe that all of these successful numbers that are present here, it was mainly because my team was all European based. So I could chat a lot to understand, like, do you think that is gonna work? How it sounds if I use this word, or there's a better wording for saying this, because we are always doing like translations and just adaptations. English is also not my first language. And then the second factor was, as it is like very deep tech, I was always talking with developers, like architects, head of ITs, just to understand tech minds and create like this content from tech to tech, you know. So I think that's what was like very key to make the successful campaign.
That's amazing. And like, obviously the hard part of that, especially when you're talking to like developers and tech like that, it's how do you break down quite complex information into, you know, fun content for everyone to understand? Like, did you have any methods, or how would you take that information and then present it in a, you know, easy bite-sized way to consume?
Yeah, so basically when you work with the inbound marketing funnel, we have like similar to sales funnel. So we have like awareness stage, we have consideration, and then the decision. So it is same structure. But in all of these stages of the funnel, we also consider the job titles. So let's say that for awareness, I can talk freely with everyone that are keen to engage with tech content. So such as, for example, creating like content about like what is something, why do you need to use, or why do you need to know about it. Then on consideration, we are dealing with more tech people that can somehow do some influence on decision in a company. Some could be like managers, could be like mid-level career. And then this kind of consideration stage, we then develop different formats of content, but more tech. So I'm actually talking with a tech person, so I don't need to explain for him or for her what it is like an API or what it is any tech concept. They need to know like what I'm getting from it. So what is the business benefits that I'm getting if I'm hiring a service, or if I should put in place this on my day to day. And then on the last part of the funnel, then we are talking about decision makers. So in the case of IT industry, where I've been working for the long time, we are talking with like CIOs, CTOs, even like some heads of infrastructure. So depends on the company, we have like different job titles. But this specific last part of the funnel, then we are focusing on what is your business gain? So how much is going to save if you're having any cost reduction? So they are tech, but they are very business related. So then we need to do this balance on the content to get both perspectives, both sides of the product or service or whatever I'm explaining to them. And for sure, not just like talking about like content strategy itself, but we are talking about different formats. Because usually like C-levels, they don't have like enough time to read a 20-page e-books. So we need to be very clever on which formats, like how long it's going to be. If you are doing any like marketing messaging hooks, just in the first seconds, just to get the attraction. So there's a lot of intelligence about the format itself, not just like the content creation and the schedule.
And you kind of mentioned a little bit there earlier, but is there any particular softwares you use personally that really enhance your role that you swear by that you want to tell our audience?
You mean for the content
creation? Yeah, or like you've already touched on HubSpot, but I suppose content creation for the moment.
Yeah, so for content creation and most of my whole marketing strategy, apart from the CRM, I'm very keen to use, and I'm always advising people to be like very organized as a marketeer. So using tools to organize your tasks and just like creating a board to all of your team, get a view on what is happening, what are the backlog tasks. So in each stage we are. And for the content itself, I'm always saving links. So using kind of this application, so where you can read later your whatever you are searching for. And I do a lot of audits, so I use a lot the whole Microsoft applications in the case of the company, but for sure like Google Docs or spreadsheets, whatever, just to support all the organization of these assets.
And away from your strengths, is there any areas you're looking to upskill into yourself?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so back to my bachelor's. So at that time, we don't have any digital marketing or even social media modules on the course. So I pretty much learn how to use, like, as a user first, but then actually testing, understanding, adjusting how it's going to be the use of social media. But this is like huge industry. It's developing a very fast pace. So it's almost impossible for me, as I'm not a specialist on it, to kind of follow all of the changes and how to better use the channels. And for sure, this is one of the areas that I am actually very keen, after finishing the master, maybe just focus a little bit more on the social media and digital marketing strategies, understanding even like how to read and understand better the analytics, kind of to support my inbound marketing, because nowadays I have a specialist on the team, so I don't need to kind of focus and deep understand the digital marketing itself. But when you are talking about even like on international context that you don't have to be in person, so digital, it's key, you know. So most of my whole strategy, it's set for digital channels. So it's very important to be aware and knowing.
Yeah, all the really channels. Well said. And is there anywhere you go to for new insights? Where do you learn a lot of your day-to-day work?
Yes. So I consume a lot of consulting firm reports. So like Gartner, Forrester, even Deloitte, IBM, because my company is very tech related, so the IBM reports are very helpful as well. But on the marketing insights, as I'm pretty much focused on account-based market, I consume a lot of blogs and articles from HubSpot, because they do have like the HubSpot Academy, which is very good. I've been seeing that LinkedIn Learning as well, it's developing a lot of courses on the subject. It seems very nice. I've never actually do any of them, but I think they are a great source. And in terms of news, like I would say Medium is very good, just to be aware of other marketing campaigns. They are talking about the use of AI, so this is actually another thing that I might be putting on my to-do list to learn beside like the digital marketing that I mentioned before, because the AI is gonna be changing so much our way of doing marketing campaigns. So yeah, just something else to be aware of.
We're all constantly learning. And looking at the digital industry as a whole, is there anything in the future that really excites you that you think could benefit yourself in B2B or anything in general?
Do you want to talk about like maybe anything that I'm doing live
now? Or anything that might be enhancing, like, is, you know, you could revert back to HubSpot or something, you know, like you could refer back to what they're developing, or do you know something that is coming to the industry, I suppose, to some extent?
Yeah, I would say that again, the use of AI, because I'm seeing like HubSpot, even on some features that they are, the features that they have on the platform is to schedule all your social media posts. And I'm seeing right now that they are adding some kind of like produce my copywriting and just putting some keywords. So I think that's something that is changing on my day to day. I've tried just to see like if it's going to be a good suggestion or not. And it was actually pretty good. I was like, wow, that's nice to see like how AI could easy my day to day somehow. But I still do believe that there is like a very like tiny border between like the AI capacity and the need of having like a human on doing this, because I certainly will review and make sure that everything is fine before like using just the AI recommendation. So and pretty much like all the platform is being changing for this artificial intelligence. And using, I don't know, I'm from tech company, so I know that there's a lot of companies using like machine learning. So kind of like the use of AI is part of the machine learning. So creating like this new small and little robots to do automations for you. So this kind of be changing a lot, I think, not just like my role, but overall professions.
Yeah, we have to adapt. Lastly, Elaine, we always ask this question to end the show, which is, if you could bottle up one personality trait you have yourself that you could pass on to others, what would it be?
Yeah, so I've actually mentioned the organization, and I really believe that is actually one of my best traits, just like soft skills that I have. And this actually helps a lot on the marketing when you are thinking about how to gather like all data to prove our value as professionals and even like the value of the investments of the company is doing. So when you get everything organized in a dashboard or whatever, in a spreadsheet, whatever format do you prefer, this helps us a lot to engage and even to prove that we are bringing results. Because most of my day-to-day, when you're talking about B2B marketing, we have a challenge on measuring brand awareness, which is something very tricky in the market. So there's a lot of conversations on some ideas of measuring it, but none of them is quite like a defined scope and framework for measuring. So I think when you get like all of these data organized and everything in one place that the company could see all the value of your marketing activities, I think that is good. And again, back to the updates, when you are like organized and you have like your tools to be updated in the market is good, because company can always ask you like, okay, so I know that a lot of companies are using like ChatGPT. Should I use it? So should I incorporate it? So somehow I'm not a specialist on it, but as a marketing manager, I might need to provide some guidance. So I think organization again will help you to somehow provide this guidance with more property, yeah. You know, when you were talking
well, like
about something.
Chat GPT on that to help you out. I think even just asking it, you know, this is what I'm doing in the next couple of weeks. How would you recommend I build out a B2B campaign or this in HubSpot and just see what it gives? It's very good at giving bullet points and saying, here's an idea, here's an idea, here's an idea. So definitely check that out. But Elaine, that's it. We're at the end of the show. If anyone wants to reach out to you, how can they?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn and all social media platforms. So more than happy to keep the conversation with
Love
all
it.
Of you.
Yeah, we'll link you in every post we do anyway. But yeah, thanks so much for being on the show. I enjoyed every minute of this. So yeah, I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom. It was lovely to chat.